So good afternoon, everyone. I'm Moshe Orenbuch, a financial services analyst here at Credit Suisse, and we're very pleased to have the management of Pagaya with us. Michael Kurlander is the chief financial officer of Pagaya. Pagaya was a company that was founded in 2016. Michael joined in 2021. The company went public earlier this year. And Michael, in his experience prior to Pagaya, had been the U.S. Treasurer of Citadel and also a senior executive at Goldman Sachs. So we look forward to questions, a fireside chat that I will moderate, and if there are questions from the audience, we certainly would take those as well. So, Michael, first, just could you talk just a little bit and, you know, tell us a little bit about how what Pagaya does and how it fits into the financial ecosystem.
Would love to, and first of all, thank you for having me. I remember we were here a year ago. Gal did a fireside chat with you, and now a year later as a public company, great to be back, so thank you. So for those who are not that familiar with Pagaya, let me start just by quickly explaining the mission, which was founded 6 years ago to essentially use data science and AI to enable more credit capacity into the U.S. financial ecosystem. The problem statement there is the traditional methods of evaluating credit in the U.S., things like debt-to-income ratios or FICO scores, haven't really evolved much in the last 40 years, so we set out on a mission to apply much more rigorous science behind evaluating credit and then ultimately providing more access to consumers. And so where we fit into the ecosystem is very unique. We're a business-to-business-to-consumer model. So we use AI to enable access to credit, but we don't do that direct to consumer. What we do is we operate through partners. We've got now over 25 different lending partners. They're the storefront for the applications that come in from consumers. And then we're using our AI to enable them to essentially say yes instead of no to more applications. And we've been able to grow very rapidly as a result of the fact that we're complementing, not competing with all of those individual lenders. And then on the other side of our ecosystem as we've created is investors with institutional capital that are looking for access to these types of financial products like consumer loans. And so we basically are operating in the middle, making that match happen.
Got it. So maybe if you could drill down a little bit, because you know, you talk about partners on the one side, and we'll get into that a little bit, and investors on the other side. There are other players who, you know, kind of, you know, say they're doing similar things. If you were going to differentiate Pagaya from other kind of AI credit-driven players, you know, what would be the factors that you would say, you know, kind of truly
sure.
differentiate Pagaya?
So three main things I would say. First, that business-to-business-to-consumer model, that is quite unique. There aren't others in the AI space that are doing it exactly the way we are. And that's really important because it creates a unique access to data that we feel like is very hard to replicate. We've got obviously all of the publicly available data that anyone could access, and 250 data scientists that spend their time poring over that information. But when you combine that with 25 different partners, application flow and volume, just to give you a sense, we've evaluated over $1 trillion of application volume just in the last 5 years. That unique combination of publicly available data with the partner individual data, we feel like gives us a strategic advantage to evaluate credit in a more sophisticated way than others who may just see their piece of the pie. That's really the first big differentiator for us. The second is funding, and that's a topic that, you know, as a former treasurer is near and dear to my heart. Wasn't that exciting of a topic up until about 6 months ago, but now is on everyone's mind. And one of the things we do differently is we operate an upfront funding model. What that means is we're actually raising capital either through the securitization markets or privately managed funds. That's capital first that we then look to deploy and into new loans, as opposed to the traditional way, which is make loans and then figure out how to fund it. And in difficult times like these, from a funding perspective, that is super valuable because it allows you to continue to operate even as waters get choppy because we've pre-funded our future activity. And then the last bit I would say as a major differentiator is just the product set. We started off really operating more in the personal loan space, and that's still roughly 2/3 of our volume. But in the last 3 or 4 years, we've expanded into auto finance, credit cards, point of sale, and even single family residential. So we feel like that diversification of product set gives us also something that, you know, is a little bit of a unique mix for Pagaya.
And we'll come back to, you know, talk about some of those in a little more detail in a moment. You have announced partnerships in the last, less than a year, I guess, with Ally, SoFi, and Visa, and also partners in auto and point of sale. Can you talk a little bit about, what these partnerships are and how they, how you help them go to market in each of those?
Yeah, this is the key to our growth. And we've, from a volume perspective, which is our key driver, we've gone from a startup 6 years ago, essentially with no activity to now over $5 billion of volume last year, and we're on track to do north of $7 billion this year. And that's all driven by this partner approach. As I mentioned at the beginning, we're operating through the B2B2C model. We are complementing what they're doing. And so from a partner perspective, like a SoFi as an example, or an Ally, the couple recent announcements we've made of very large partnerships, for them, this is a way to grow their business, actually reduce customer acquisition costs, create a new consumer, because from a consumer standpoint, even though Pagaya is underpinning the credit evaluation, they're still getting a approval from that partner themselves, and that's really important. And so that win-win model of the consumer benefiting from getting access to credit and then the partner benefiting from getting a new customer, that has allowed that rapid growth for us from an overall business standpoint. And so when we talk about things like we're now in 70% of the auto franchise dealerships in the U.S., which is really important because that's where 80% of new car volume is transacted in franchise dealerships. When people ask how are we able to get so far so quickly, it's through that complementary model and plugging into partners, which then allows us to scale very rapidly in the products that we operate in.
How would you quantify how the improvement that those partners are able to achieve in terms of whether it's a reduction in acquisition cost or an increase in approval rates, or what are their most important KPIs, and how does Pagaya help them with those?
Really, for them, what we find with most of our partners is it's really about them just being able to expand their customer base. And what we found is that on average, our impact for a number of partners can be in the order of 20 to 30%. One thing that people don't always appreciate about the lending space is that traditionally, for lots of very good and bad reasons, 60 to 70% of applications that come through are not approved for lots of different variety of reasons. Doesn't fit in the credit box. Even high credit quality consumers maybe check the wrong box, et cetera, et cetera. And so the real measure for the partners is that increase in their application pool that they can say yes to using our technology. And so the measure, the KPI, is roughly 20 to 30%. And the exciting thing about that for us is when you get into more tight credit environments, like you could argue we're in right now, that value actually just grows. Because typically in a difficult credit environment, those with less sophisticated underwriting capabilities or less access to funding, typically the reaction is to tighten and shrink your credit box. When that happens and we're plugged in, and this is all automated, happening in real time, in milliseconds, that allows us to actually see more of their application flow, and our value to them actually grows in the more difficult times. So we really like, and our partners really appreciate us being there for them during the difficult times.
Maybe just to follow up on that, is it that their competitors are tightening, and so therefore they're able to see more application flow, or it's that their costs are lower, so their ability to serve more customers is better, or some combination? Like, what are the yep. drivers of how that in an environment like this, where interest costs are up and credit costs are also increasing?
Yep. So let's take it from two different perspectives. There's the let's call it fintech partner, the disruptors of 10 years ago who've built new lending practices to disrupt the industry from post-financial crisis, and then the big banks, because they're slightly different value propositions. On the first one, on the, let's call it fintech space, and you know, maybe using SoFi as a public example, as they're getting application flow volume, or as any one of our partners is getting application flow volume, if the credit box of that individual institution is tighter, then effectively think of it as we're seeing incremental application flow. Because they, for again, lots of different reasons, if they want to do less, then we get to actually enable them and assist them evaluating credit in more application flow. Now that means that Pagaya, at the Pagaya level, and think about this over 25 different partners, we can actually see more, and that allows us to be more selective on a greater application pool, continue to grow our network volume, even while tightening credit standards in our credit box. So that's one way that we can add a lot of value to our let's call it fintech type partners. On the bank side, it's slightly different. Banks aren't maybe as concerned about funding or maybe even the credit criteria, but for banks, having come from one, you know, largest regulated institutions in the world. And so for banks, there's some regulatory implications to making loans, in particular credit scores, where it just becomes very cost prohibitive, meaning can't offer the loans at the right rate to earn any profits because of the capital that you have to hold against those loans. For that cohort, we solve that problem because we can actually help them approve the loans, but then ultimately take it off their balance sheet into one of our funding vehicles, not on the Pagaya balance sheet, we're not a direct balance sheet lender, but going into one of our funding vehicles, which actually enables them to continue to have the customer, decrease customer acquisition cost, cross-sell, do all the things that they want to do, including continuing to service the loans, which earns revenue for them, while not having that capital implication. So it differs a little bit depending on the different type of partner we have, but we can serve the needs of both.
Got it. And you know, one of the things that that you and others in the management team have spoken about is, you know, kind of marketing the approach to large banks. And not that Ally isn't a large bank, they are a large bank, but they're not a, you know, what you'd think of as a traditional large bank. And I know that that's an objective of the company is to, you know, bring Pagaya's services to some of the larger banks. Maybe could you talk a little bit about what it takes, and you alluded to it already in the previous answer a little bit, but you know, what it's going to take to get, some of those companies, you know, to come on board.
We're really excited about the opportunity to partner with the largest banks in the U.S., and there's a lot of traction in our pipeline because of the things I talked about around the win-win proposition and the value that we can provide to the even, you know, large banks with significant resources. And so, you know, when you think about what goes into a large bank partnership, it takes upwards of a year to actually get all the way through. And that's not because of the conversation of is this good or is this not good. That's the easy part. The hard part is the process of going through all of the due diligence and the requirements. Obviously, again, as a highly regulated institution, for any large bank to enable a Pagaya to help support them, there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to get built, including then the technical integration, because all of this is going to happen in real time. And so Ally was a good example. We probably spent, you know, almost a year building that. It takes a lot of effort, and that's a lot of resources. So what we've been doing over the last year is investing very heavily, you know, in our team and in our different types of functions around the company, including things like legal and compliance and all the areas that you really need to have to support and partner with a large bank. And we feel really good now that we're at that level of scale that we can bring on a large bank. And once you do it for one, you know, we feel really good about the ability to then do it for two, three, and four. And I think what you were alluding to in the beginning part of your question is, you know, there's what's the value in doing that for us. Going after the largest banks in the U.S. gives us the opportunity to really scale our network volume. The volume of loans that came through our pipes of $5 billion last year on track for $7 this year, just to put that in context, still less than 1% of the overall market in the markets that we're operating in. And the large banks, just the largest banks in the U.S., did over $650 billion of originations last year. So that's what gets us so excited is we feel like our model will work with almost all of them, but even just getting one, two, or three as partners of ours can give us an opportunity to significantly ramp up and scale our volume.
Maybe talk a little, let's talk a little bit about the various verticals. You said that obviously the first area that you entered was, you know, the personal loan market still represents about two-thirds of your volume. When you think about other markets, you know, whether it's, you know, auto, mortgage, point of sale, could you talk a little bit about how it compares to that? Are they more suited, less suited, or what are the similarities and differences that's going to make, you know, each of those you know, successful markets for Pagaya?
There are actually a ton of similarities, and when we think about it, we feel like our AI capabilities will be helpful anywhere where there's a credit decision being made around a consumer. And so the, you know, 1,000 attributes across the $1 trillion worth of applications that we've been able to evaluate, it ports very well between the different products. And so the general model of what we're doing, which is creating data science to understand credit trends and credit behaviors, we feel like works equally in personal loans as it does in credit cards, as it does in auto. It's underlying the same decision. Now, of course, the products might be slightly different. The term of a point of sale loan is typically 2 to 3 months, whereas a personal loan might be a year and a half or 2 years. So there's going to be different attributes that have to factor into the model, but we've built the technology to basically, you know, provide all those inputs in and then receive information and risk management on the back end that we feel like ports, you know, across all of those different products. So it's short answer to your question is it's essentially the same model across products with tweaks for the different nuances of each individual one.
So let's talk about auto then a little bit. You alluded to it before, you know, you're in 12,000 dealers. First, I guess, what does that mean to be in 12,000 dealers? And, you know, talk about how, you know, how Pagaya can get to scale in a market, you know, today versus, you know, what happened, in the, you know, what you did in the personal loan market.
Auto is a great example of how the B2B2C model can lead to rapid scale in our business. Imagine how difficult it would have been if we were to go into thousands of dealerships across the US and knock on doors to plug into their LOS systems to evaluate, you know, as new borrowers are coming in to take loans for car purchases or refinancings. That would have taken decades. And through our partnership model, we actually got access, as you said, to 12,000 dealerships, 70% of the franchise dealerships in the US, where every day now, and it's not, this is something that happens where the consumer isn't even aware. They don't think of it as we're going to get a Pagaya loan. They're going to get a loan through one of our partners. We're just the infrastructure that's actually supporting that. So very quickly, we were able to be in, even, you know, today, tomorrow, every minute of every day, we're actually seeing application flow from all of those dealerships. And not only is that good just to be able to quickly ramp the business and our auto product, and by the way, because we're just getting started in that new large partnership, a lot of the volume associated with that, with this, will really kick in more next year than this year. So it gives us a lot of tailwinds heading into the future. But it also gives us even more data. And everyone familiar with AI knows that the more data you feed the models, the better the models get. And so really, we're on this quest just to continue to get more data, more information, the models get stronger, and it becomes a really nice flywheel effect of then growing our partnerships, growing our value, and enabling more access to credit in the US.
So maybe staying on that theme, we discussed that you've got a new partnership in the POS space. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit and, you know, just explain how that will work. You mentioned they're shorter duration loans. What is it that Pagaya is doing in that area?
So same basic model, and we're really excited about this partnership, which is with one of the largest POS providers in the US, still in beta mode, so not naming the name yet, but it's a great opportunity for us with, if you think about it in the point of sale market, as people go in and purchase something from either online or from their favorite retailer, the point of sale lender has this exact same issue that the personal loan lender has, which is how do we make sure that the applicants that are coming through we're evaluating correctly? And so same approach of plugging in through them, enabling more yeses instead of nos, and then allowing that business to grow. And given that scale, that point of sale provider we're in is, you know, 30,000 customers, 30,000 merchants in the U.S. that we can actually penetrate very quickly. That's going to, again, be a tailwind for us for our volumes the next year. And because of the short duration of that asset, we're actually going to get more data because the loans will turn over. We're going to be able to follow customers around their operating history, whether it's buying an appliance, renting a house, buying a car, or taking out a loan to refurbish their house. By having information around the consumer everywhere where they go, allows the data models to get, again, even smarter and more impactful.
Are you able to actually combine the data on an individual consumer across, if they have multiple transactions with different
More around the partners? Archetypes. So more around understanding the type of the behavior type of, for the type of borrower, and then understanding those trends as opposed to the individual. Again, we're operating through our partners, and there's, of course, great focus on PII. And so it's really more about understanding the type of borrower and actually being able to, with massive amounts of data, understand borrowing trends and then eventually, and understanding repayment behavior.
Okay. I've got a few more, but if there are any questions in the room, we can take them now if there's... Okay. Seeing no hands, I will continue. Feel free to raise a hand if you do want to ask a question. Really, one of the things, and you, Michael, you talked about this before. When you talked about differentiating, well, I guess actually let me leave that for next. You mentioned a significant number of data scientists. You mentioned the ability as you get more and more, volume processed, more and more consumers, and across more and more products, just more and more data. Could you just talk a little bit about, how much of an improvement you think that could provide kind of on a, whether it's an annual or whatever basis is the right way to think about that. How do we think about that level of improvement?
Well, one data point that we use that I think helps to illustrate it, for us, COVID was a really interesting time because you had this period where we were still a very young company and you had COVID hit. Same phenomenon of credit boxes tightening, the world seizing up. Obviously, that was very short-lived, and then you had a period where all of a sudden it became the opposite, which is through stimulus and support, lots of maybe euphoria, you could say, in the credit markets. And through that period, we went from just picking one particular partner out, we went from 2% of their volume to 35% of their volume. So we enabled them to keep their business model, continue to grow, but actually underwrite through their credit box a third less. Incredibly impactful. And then when you fast forward a year later, actually we were 37%, not 33% of their volume. And so what we were able to demonstrate through that period was when the environment tightens and when sophistication and risk management becomes even more important, the value proposition is significant. And then a year later, it can be very sticky in the sense that once our partners see that value that we're able to create for them, it's very difficult to imagine why they would want to turn that off. And we have 100% partner retention ratio. We've never had a partner turn us off. And it's because once, we feel like that complementary, not competing mentality and allowing them to just get better at growing their customer base is something that we feel like is very, very difficult for any partner to not want to just do more of.
There are other companies, as we talked about a little a few moments ago, mm-hmm. that have somewhat similar business models and in some cases are not seeing that continued improvement in the underwriting process. Is there a way that you could, what is it that you think you've done differently to make that difference?
I do think really the key differentiator is that vantage point, is that fact that, there's the publicly available data and then also all of the partner data from 25 different individual lenders that does create this very unique data moat that's very hard to replicate. Not impossible, but very, very difficult to replicate. The other thing I would say, and it's always the hardest question, is to answer how does the AI, what's the secret sauce? How does the AI work? And it's always very hard to articulate. But what I can tell you is this is the only focus of the business. And so I've worked in other companies where obviously you've got a lot of different things that you need to get done, and so you allocate your resources across many different competing priorities. I was at Goldman when we started Marcus, and even when that was a blank piece of paper, we had to think about how do you build a brand, and how do you build marketing, and how do you get customers, and how do you do underwriting, and all of these other different things. What we do is just focus on one thing and one thing only, is we want to be the best in the world at underwriting data science. And so that core focus combined with that unique vantage point of data, we think is the best way to describe the secret sauce.
Gotcha. I do want to spend, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I do want to spend a couple of minutes on the idea of this pre-funding.
Yes.
And the advantage that it gives you, and I know what I've observed is that if you don't have that in place and you make loans, you obviously don't know your profit margin, right? That's
right.
And that's best case.
Right.
As you think about this and think about how that is likely to, and this is, you know, obviously a little less relevant for, as you said, the big banks, but how is that likely to, you know, to help Pagaya kind of in the, you know, in the range of those types of companies that are trying to do similar things as yourself?
Yeah, look, ultimately our mission is to enable more access to credit, but then ultimately to make sure our investors are getting the returns that they're looking for. And through the pre-funding model, which means we're raising cash day one before we actually make loans, whether it be through securitization or our privately managed funds, that really enables us to deliver on that, and there's a couple of reasons why. First, and you alluded to this, in a world where interest rates are close to zero and stable, maybe not that exciting to think about your forward cost of capital. But in a world like we're in today, as you said, not knowing what cost of capital is going to be in 3 weeks from now makes it very then difficult to know how to price loans. By pre-funding, we're locking in that cost of capital. Knowing in what our locked-in cost of capital is and knowing what our investors are looking for in terms of their return hurdles allows us to really be very disciplined and really thoughtful around pricing loans on the other side and making sure we're doing the right business that matches the investor's requirements. That's one thing. The other thing is that by raising capital first and then deploying it, that allows you to operate when markets get dislocated. And typically, and you know, having lived through 2008 and 2001, the core dislocation matters, you know, over weeks or months. And having dry powder enabling you to keep lending during those time periods, typically those are the periods where, because everyone else is pulling back, the best opportunities to really, you know, be selective and drive returns for your investors. And not having to go to market on a particular day because we've got balance sheet risk, and having the dry powder to say we've got funding now for the next, you know, 3 months while there's dislocation in markets, that's allowed us to, again, be really selective in what we're doing and then ultimately drive investor returns. And our investors, who we've, you know, built relationships with over many years, really, really do appreciate that, alongside just the core fact that through a Pagaya transaction, you're getting access to the platforms that we are partners with. So it's a little bit of, think of it almost like one-stop shopping for our investors.
Right.
Rather than doing the due diligence on all of these individual platforms, through Pagaya, you're getting access, which is another way of saying diversification through one transaction.
Right. We only have about a minute left, and maybe you could just give us a sense as to how Pagaya evolves over the next 3 to 5 years. What are going to be the biggest drivers in terms of the verticals or any other way that you think about that?
Definitely, and we really do feel like we're just getting going. We feel like we've got a lot of runway ahead of us. Notwithstanding the world around us, this is actually, as I was saying, the time where we get most excited. And so for us, we think, you know, if we can continue on, we've just announced two large partnerships, as you referred to. If we can carry on that sort of approach, don't need to do millions, but if we do a couple more over the next year, a few more over the next few years, we feel like our volume numbers can grow in multiples. And for us, given the, you know, the business model and the economic model, we feel like that actually will drive a lot of scale, because all the investments that we've made to get to this point we feel like we're now in a really good spot to now really start creating operating leverage. So for us, next few years are going to be around continuing to pound the pavement and get new partners, get our name out there, make sure everyone understands the value that we can add. And if we just then can grow our partners, you know, by something very reasonable, we feel like that can drive network volume to significantly higher levels than it is today and drive operating profits. And that's really what we're excited about.
Great. Well, with that, we actually are out of time. Thank Michael for his time and Pagaya, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.